All right, if you got your Bibles, turn to the book of Revelation, please. We're continuing our study on the tremendous event that's yet to come called the rapture of the church. It's the same notes as last week, so if you have your notes from last week, you can take those out. If you were not here last week, let me say that again, if you were not here last week and would like a set of notes, hold your hand up high and Phil will bring that to you. Again, if you were not here last week, raise your hand and we'll see that you get those notes. Phil's looking for your hand, so don't do this. Again, this is for those who were not here last week. All right. Did everybody get one that was not here? Now, if you were here last week but forgot your notes, you're going to have them with you. Hold your hand up and you'll get what's left, okay? Hopefully you brought your notes back with you from last week. Same one, part two of last week, so you can just take that out. While you're doing that, I was asked by Awana Commander, they need help in Awana, some workers. So if you're interested in doing that, please see me after the service, and I'll give you some details about the need there. Again, they need help in Awana. Awana will be happening during the school schedule. It'll be this month and next month, and it'll be out. But if you will be willing to help, if you are a member of the church and be willing to help with Awana, please see me after the service, and I'll share with you what the specific need is, and they could use your help. All right, everybody got the notes that wants them? All right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to review last week's for those who were not here and go through that quickly, then we'll take what we left off. We're talking about the rapture of the church. We're going to look at the rapture revealed and the rapture described. But it's important for the believer to understand there are two aspects of the Lord's return. Let me say it again. It's important for the Christian to understand that there are two aspects of the Lord's return. The first one is the rapture. I believe you'll find that on the screen if they'll turn to it. The first aspect of the Lord's return is the rapture. The rapture is the Lord coming for His saints. The second aspect is the revelation, and that's the Lord comes with His saints. The revelation is usually referred to as the second coming, but both of them, He's coming again. When He comes to the rapture, He's coming in the air. He will not come back to this earth. We will meet Him to the air. He'll take us to heaven with Him. The revelation, He'll come back to this earth to establish His millennial kingdom. Said again, there are two aspects of His coming. The rapture, the Lord coming for us. We will meet Him in the air. We're going to talk about that later on. He'll take us to heaven. The revelation, it comes 7 years later. This two aspects are divided by a seven-year period called the tribulation. So the next evening on God's calendar is the rapture of the church, where He comes for us, takes us to heaven. Then there'll be a seven-year tribulation spoken about in the book of Revelation. 7 years are a terrible time. Then at the end of the 7 years, there'll be the revelation. The Lord comes back. When He comes back that time, every eye shall see Him, and He'll establish His kingdom on this earth. So the rapture is kind of a secretive thing that all of a sudden millions of people just disappear and gone. The revelation, He'll come back and every eye on this earth will see Him. He'll come to establish His kingdom here on this earth. So they're very important to understand the two. And we're talking about the first aspect tonight, the rapture. So the rapture revealed. Let me ask you, how well you listened last week? When was the rapture revealed to us and who did it? When was the rapture, that great truth of the rapture, revealed to us, and who did it? Who revealed it to us? The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Turn there, please. This is the first time the rapture is mentioned in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse 51, 1 Corinthians 15. in verse 51. Notice what it says here. The Apostle Paul says, behold, I show you a what? Mystery. Now, the word mystery means a truth revealed for the first time. This is the first time this wonderful truth of the rapture is revealed to us, revealed to mankind. Now, there are many scriptures in the Gospels that people believe refer to the rapture, but they do not. Because Paul said, this is a mystery, this is a truth revealed for the first time. And we talked about last week, there's a Matthew 24 talks about the revelation. So there'll be two in the field, one should be taken, one should be left. There'll be two grinding in the meal, one should be taken, other be left. And people say, that's the rapture. No, it's not. It's the revelation. And you can talk, you look at it in the context. We looked at that last week. So that's a wrong application, because the first time the word, the idea of the rapture is revealed to us is in the book of Corinthians by the Apostle Paul. It's referred to as a mystery. Now, notice here, this is the rapture revealed to us by the Apostle Paul. Then we have letter A, the declaration. The declaration. What does he declare? This is a wonderful truth. Look in verse 15 again. So behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all what? Sleep, but we shall all be changed. The word sleep there means die. Do you realize there's going to be a generation of believers who will never experience physical death? I don't know about you. I hope that's us. If the Lord, if the rapture happened tomorrow, there, those of you that are alive would just be caught up and taken to heaven. You would never experience physical death. So the Bible says, declaration, that not everyone will die. There will be a group of believers that are living during that time that will not experience physical death. Now, this is a disruption of a general rule. The general rule we looked at last week, Hebrews 9:27, it said, as it is appointed unto men once to die after this judgment. The general rule is we're all going to die one day. If the Lord tarries, you're going to die one day. But this is a disruption to that rule. The Lord himself will come back, and he says, we shall not all die. And we got some rare examples of exceptions to that. Remember Lazarus? Lazarus who died and Christ raised him from the dead? Now we know he died twice. Because when he came back from the dead, that was not a resurrection and a glorified body. God resuscitated him in that same body. He brought life back to the body he died in, and we know eventually he died again. So he died twice. Yet the general rule is appoint a man to die what? Once. So there's an exception. But also, we're going to have other exceptions later on. Remember Enoch and Elijah in the Old Testament, they never died. So there are some exceptions, and including the rapture. So the declaration, which we shall, not everyone would die. The next one is everyone will be changed. At the time of the rapture, everyone will be changed. Now, I show you that not exchanged. There's a lot of people that believe that when the rapture happens, the body you live in now is going to be left behind and you'll get a new body. You're going to exchange it. No, he didn't say we shall be exchanged. We shall all be what? Changed. And the idea there, we shall all be changed. Again, another false teaching today is that only the saved and serving will be go up. If you're saved and living for Christ, you'll be caught in the rapture. But if you're backslidden, you'll be left behind. But friend, that's not a rapture. That's a rupture of the church. He's not going to rupture the church. He's going to take all saved, dedicated, carnal, everybody. We shall all be changed. Now, what kind of spiritual church was the Corinthian church? Were they spiritual giants? No, they were carnal, fleshly. And to them, he says, we shall all be changed. So he's speaking to a carnal group. That's the declaration. The duration, how fast will this happen? In verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Notice it did not say the blinking of an eye, but the twinkling of an eye. There was a difference. Because you can see someone blink their eyes, though it happens quickly. The twinkling of the eye is the light reflecting off your eye. At the speed of light, this will happen. Again, not the blinking of an eye, but the twinkling of an eye. So it's going to happen not gradually, but instantaneously. There are some people, I've read all kinds of stuff, people say, well, when the rapture happens, all of a sudden people are going to start floating up. over here and people float up over here and you get to watch them go up. My friend, that is not true. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, it means it's going to happen instantaneously. In other words, you're going to see them, look back, and they're gone. There will not be something, in fact, you'll miss it if you're not careful. It's interesting. Somebody told me this. Pastor, I don't believe in the rapture or I don't believe in Christ. I won't believe it till it happens, but I can see people go up. My friend, it's too late. If you don't go up with them, you're going to be left behind and go through the tribulation. That's the duration. Now, the announcement. How is the rapture announced? It says in verse 82, it said, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall what? Sound. Now, last week we talked about, who's going to hear the trumpet? Is the trumpet for everybody in the world? Is everybody in the world going to hear the sound trumpet? Only the saved. Which one do you think? It doesn't say, but I'll tell you what I think. I think only the believers will hear it. That only those that are saved will hear it, and all of a sudden it happens. The announcement is that. The trumpet shall sound. It means to herald the end of the church era, when all believers will be removed from the earth at the rapture. We'll read about that in a few moments. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the what? Trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. So the trumpet. By the way, the trumpet, as in the Old Testament, signaled the appearance of God. Did you realize that? Go with me now, please. Go to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19. In the Old Testament, many times when a trumpet sounded, it was because the appearance of God. And, of course, that's what the rapture is. The trumpet shall sound, and God's going to appear in the heavens and take his people away back to heaven with him. Exodus 19, please. You got Genesis, Exodus, chapter 19, in verse 9. Here Moses was at Mount Sinai. God wanted to send down to his people. And look what he said in Exodus 19. Look with me in verse 9, please. Exodus 19, verse 9. Again, the trumpet was signal of God's appearance. Verse 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. He goes on to say, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people, sanctify them tomorrow, as today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will what? Come down in the sight of all people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that you go not to the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall surely be put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the what? Trumpet soundeth, long they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down, verse 14, from the mount unto the people, sanctified the people, and washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. Verse 16, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of a what? Trumpet, exceedingly loud, so the people that was in the camp trembled. In verse 17, and Moses brought forth the people at the camp to meet with what? God. So here is an example where a trumpet announced the coming of God down to Mount Sinai. So that's the rapture. A trumpet shall sound. That means God, Christ is coming to take his church home. That's the announcement. Letter D, again, we covered this last week, going through quickly, the participants. Who's going to participate in this event called the rapture? It says, go back to 1 Corinthians, please. In verse 52, notice the participants is a select group of believers that have died, will be resurrected, a select group. I see how well you listen last week. I always wonder how well I teach, or how well you listen, or both. Who is involved? What group of people, what select group of people are involved in the rapture? Is it all people that have died in past history? It is only the church. the church age saints, called the body of Christ. Those people that were saved from Pentecost to the rapture, that's called the church age. Those are going to be taken up in the rapture. The Old Testament saints will not be involved with this, though they've died years ago. They'll be resurrected right before the millennial reign of Christ, before the revelation, or at the revelation. Only that select group will be the church age saints. The believers, in other words, the select group of believers who have died will be resurrected, and the believers who are alive will be transformed. If the rapture happened right now, you would be, if you're saved, you'd be called up, snatched away. On the way up, you would be transformed into a glorified body. Now, the conclusion, then we'll go to the next point. The conclusion is verse 54. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. For those who belong to Christ, death's power will be removed. Praise the Lord. That's the rapture revealed, number two, as we left off last week. Now the rapture described. Go with me, would please, to 1 Thessalonians, please. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Here's a description of the rapture. Now it was revealed to us in 1 Corinthians. Paul said a mystery revealed for the first time there in 1 Corinthians, but now he describes it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's read the whole thing and we'll come back to it. Chapter 4, look in verse 13, please. 1 Thessalonians, and that's right before 2 Thessalonians, if that's helpful, okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look in verse 13, and we'll read to verse 18. We'll back up and look at how he describes it. Verse 13. Paul said, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are what? Talking about those who have died. That you sorrow not, even to others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep, those who have died in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, means precede, them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17. Then we which are alive remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. So the rapture is a teaching of comfort. Paul gives this to comfort us, especially concerning your loved ones. How many have loved ones who are in heaven? And he speaks about them here. So first of all, letter A, the prerequisite. What is required? What's a prerequisite that God requires of you to be involved with the rapture? Okay, look at it. And we're going to see here in verse 14. For if we what? Believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, God bring them. So we have to believe. That's the gospel. That Christ died and rose again. So if you want to be involved with the rapture, you have to believe and be saved. You have to believe the gospel that Christ died for you and rose again and trust him yourself. That's the prerequisite. A person who, to be involved with the rapture, he first must believe, must be saved. That's the prerequisite. Letter B, the people. Who is involved at the rapture? First of all, believers, both living and dead. Believers, remember what group of believers is it? The church, the body of Christ, both living and dead. Number one, believers who have died will God bring with him. Notice that now. Believers have died, Christ will bring him. When he comes back at the rapture, notice what it says in the latter part of verse 14. Look at verse 14 again. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them, who is the them there? Those that are asleep, those that died in Christ. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus, will God do what? Bring with them. Look at me, please. That lets me know. Both my mom and dad have died. They're with him now. At the rapture, when he comes back, he's going to bring them with him. But he's coming to get me, take them up there, meet them in the air. You understand that? So that assures me my loved ones, my family's in heaven. Notice when he comes back, that those asleep, those have died in Christ, those are saved, will God bring with him. So the first people involved, believers have died, God will bring with him. Next, believers who are living will be called up. Believers who are living will be called up. So if the rapture, when it happens, for example, again, back in the back of a church, we have a graveyard. There's several people buried back there. By the way, I have two graves back there waiting for me, if the Lord tarries. But my mom and dad's buried back there. Now, their bodies are back there, but they're in heaven. Now, remember I shared with you, I say things over and over again because I want you to forget. Someone said the more mud you sling against the wall, the more it's going to stick. So I say some things over and over again so you don't forget. Death in the Bible is defined. The Bible says, James says, as the body without the spirit is dead. So when you die physically, your spirit leaves your body. If you're saved, absent from the body is what? Present Lord. There's a false teaching common to many, many churches. It's called soul sleep, which teaches that when you die as a Christian, when they bury your body, your soul remains with your body. And your body is in a grave, in a casket in a grave. Your spirit is there. And when Christ returns, he's going to get you and your body out of the grave and resurrect you. But notice here, when Christ comes back, he doesn't come back for the dead. He brings them back with him. So in the back there are the bodies of my mom and dad. Their spirits in heaven with Christ. Absent the body, present the Lord. So when Christ comes back, mom, my dad, come back with him. Their bodies will be resurrected and reunited with their spirit. They'll have a new body. So again, the bodies of believers who have died will go up first. Those who have died will be bring with him, and believers who are living will be caught up. So at the rapture, my parents' bodies will be resurrected, reunited with the spirit, which comes back with the Lord, and I'll be caught up. And guess what? I'll meet them in there. And so shall we be of the Lord. Now the priority. Who goes up first? You say, what do you mean goes up first? Number one, there the bodies of believers who have died will go up first. Look in verse 15. The bodies of believers, that means my mom and dad, the bodies back there at the rapture, the bodies have been resurrected first. It says in verse 15, when we which are alive remain unto the coming Lord shall not prevent, means precede them which are asleep. So at the rapture, though I'll be caught up, my parents' bodies be resurrected first, and I'll be following right behind them. It says they shall not prevent, precede them which are asleep. So the bodies of believers who have died will go up first. Number two, their resurrected bodies will be reunited with their spirits. Because remember, he brings them back with him. Now, here's a question for you. When a person goes to heaven, do they have a body in heaven? Now, we know at the resurrection, at the rapture, my parents' bodies will be resurrected. And that body that's taken out of the grave be united with the spirit. He comes back with him. But in the meantime, are they out there floating around as a spirit? Do they have a body in heaven? You understand what I'm trying to say? Because the bodies in the grave would be resurrected. I believe they have a temporary body. I don't believe that they're floating around. I believe they have a temporary body. They're just waiting, and they'll come back and get their original body that's resurrected. That's an I think. Okay. So, the priority, who goes up first? The dead in Christ shall rise first. The in which your mind should be called together. Number, letter D. The protection. I like this. The protection. Our escort to heaven will be the Lord Jesus Christ. Our escort to heaven will be the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in verse 16, please. It says, for the Lord, what? Himself shall descend from heaven. Now, why is that? Why does he do that? Now, think about this. He's in heaven. He could just shout and say, come on up. And we'd be snatched up and taken all the way to heaven. But however, he comes down to meet us in the air. Why does he do that? Why don't he just, take us up? This is an I think, and that'd be point number two there. Why does he escort us to heaven? The Lord himself, I believe, number two, the believer's enemy, Satan, may try to interfere. the believer's enemy, Satan, may try to interfere. Now, this is and I think many people believe this. I do too. Because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that the Satan is called the prince of the power of the what? Air. That means the atmosphere which we believe. This world we live in is Satan's. This is his domain. The Bible said he's the god of this world. He's the prince of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. And notice the Lord announces the rapture by a trumpet. And maybe possibly even Satan might hear that. So the Lord himself will descend from heaven. He'll come down here and snatch you up. Because I think Satan will try to stop you. Try to stop all the believers going up. My friend, the main man's coming down to take us back to heaven and to meet us in the air. So he will escort. That's the protection. He himself will come down. You say, well, why? I don't know, Satan won't try to stop me because the Lord himself's coming. You can't do better than that, can you? Letter E. We saw the priority. Who goes up first? The dead in Christ shall rise first. The protection, our escort to heaven will be Christ himself. Now the promise. The promise, verse 17. Again, it says, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17, then we, which are what? Alive. And I mean, those that are living physically at the rapture, and it said, which are alive and remain, shall be what? Caught up. Now look at me, please. Remember I shared with last week, if someone says, show me the word rapture in the Bible, where would you go? The word rapture is not there. But the word rapture comes from that phrase right there, caught up. That's where we get the word rapture from. The word caught up literally means to snatch away, to seize, to carry off by force. So if the rapture happened right this moment, all of a sudden, every Christian would be snatched away. How fast? In the twinkle of an eye. So the word rapture comes from the word caught up. Where it says, we which alive remain shall be caught up together with them. Who's the them? Those who have died in Christ, the bodies will be raised, caught up together with them, in the clouds to meet the Lord where? In the air. Remember the rapture, the Lord comes for his saints. The rapture, he does not come back to the earth. He does at the revelation. The rapture, he comes back and we meet him in the air, in the clouds. So he'll come back in the clouds. How low will he go? I don't know how, but basically in the clouds he'll come. He'll call us up, every one of us will be snatched away. We'll meet our loved ones in the air. And he says, latter part of verse 17, wherefore comfort one another with these words. But I want to give you two Old Testament examples. Can you know of any Old Testament examples of the rapture? I want to show them to you in the time we got left. First of all, Enoch. You ever heard of Enoch? From the book of Genesis, the verse will be on the screen. Old Testament examples of the rapture. Genesis 5:24, it said, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God what? What a description of the rapture. In other words, Lou walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. All of a sudden, he's here, and he's gone. That's what happened to Enoch. That's what happened to you when Christ comes back. Now, go with me now to Hebrews 11, please. Hebrews 11. We're just about done for those of you who have children back there. Hebrews 11, verse 5. Here's another reference to Enoch and how he never died. He was an example, though it was not talking about the rapture. It's an example of what happened at the rapture. Hebrews 11, verse 5. It says, by what? The same way we're upon the rapture. By faith. By faith, Enoch was what? Translated that he should not see what? Death. And was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had a testimony that he pleased God. What an example. In other words, Enoch was not because God translated him, took him to heaven. That was an example of the rapture. Another person was an Old Testament example who never died was who? Elijah. Let it be Elijah. Let me just read this verse to you. 2 Kings 2:11. And it came to pass, as they still went on, about Elijah and Elisha, and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. So again, the idea that he was snatched away. Old Testament examples of the rapture. But the rapture of the Lord, the living will be taken to heaven. It happened instantaneously. You'll be literally caught up to be with the Lord. Now, number two there. Number one, the living will be taken to heaven. Number two, we will be reunited with our loved ones who have died. We will be reunited with our loved ones who have died, caught up together with them in the clouds. I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to that. Now, I will see my parents either way. If the Lord tarries and I die, I'll go to heaven be with them. Or at the rapture, when the Lord comes back, He'll bring them back with Him. Their bodies will be caught up first, and I fall right behind them. And I'll meet them in the air, in the clouds, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that's let number three, the promise. We will be with the Lord forever. We will be with the Lord forever. So the promise, the living will be taken to heaven. We will be reunited with our loved ones who have died. And we will be with the Lord forever. What a wonderful promise it is. Then he says, wherefore comfort with these words. So if you have loved ones, we'll close to this. That were saved but are dead. My friend, they are in heaven. They are with the Lord. And if the Lord comes in our lifetime, when He comes back, He'll bring your loved one with Him and will be caught up. Their bodies in the grave will be resurrected, united with the Spirit, which brought back with Him. You'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord where? In the air. So shall be the Lord. I wonder how many hope prays that happens in our lifetime. And I believe that's what John prayed for. The latter part of the Revelation, he said, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Oh, goodness. How old will we be? In our glorified bodies, how old will we be? This is, I think, the Bible doesn't say. I don't think I'll be 70. Many people believe the Bible said we'll have a body fashioned like unto His glorified body. How old was Jesus Christ when He died? 33. That's what I think. That you'll have a body like His body, which is 33 years old. How many looking forward to being 33 again? That's what I think. Again, I try to separate the safe Lord from I think. So, but we do know that we shall have a body like unto His glorified body. And so anyway, there's so much we can learn. Next week, we'll continue in chapter 4. And so read the rest of chapter 4, if you would please, and continue that next Wednesday night. It's time for us to quit. Let's bow together. Father in heaven, we covered so much in such a short period of time. But Father, what a wonderful truth it is to know that one day You'll come back for us. That You'll come back and meet us and take us out of this world, literally snatch us away and be united with our loved ones that are already in heaven, that we so shall we be the Lord. Lord, we pray as John prayed, even so, Lord, come quickly. May we experience this wonderful thing called the rapture. That's our desire. That's our hope. That's our comfort. Lord, do that, please. And we'll rejoice and praise You for it. If by chance, Lord, if there's someone tonight who's never trusted Christ as Savior, if the rapture happened today, they would be left behind to go into what is called the Great Tribulation. The Bible says the worst time period this earth has ever or wherever experienced. An awful time where people will suffer tremendously. But Father, You have not called us unto wrath, but unto salvation. And Lord, the rapture, we will be delivered from that tribulation. So I pray that anyone here tonight who has not trusted Christ will indeed do so. Even tonight, trust Christ to be their Savior so they can be a part of this wonderful thing called the rapture. It's His name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Looking forward to seeing you Sunday.